Praise God. Well, this morning we're going to go back into our subject of spiritual jurisdiction. Yes, last week while I was teaching, the Lord spoke to me and told me what I was supposed to teach this week. And I made mention of last week, and I said it because I really wasn't going to go into the area that I'm going into with any depth. But the Lord said I need to talk about it. We're dealing with talking about and been looking in the areas of God's jurisdiction. In other words, the boundaries that God has set. God has laid out boundaries of His operation, how He works in the earth. And man has to operate in that. If you sit down and look at Jesus' ministry and look at all the parables and things that He told, and He said, the kingdom of heaven's like this. In other words, that's things of how that the kingdom operates, of how it operates within His jurisdiction. And He goes through to tell you numbers and numbers of things. He used parables to tell us about how the kingdom of heaven operates. If you go over and Jesus talked about the end times, He used parables dealing with the end times. And He said, He showed that in the end times, there were certain parables he gave that He said, at that time, in other words, that time in history, when that takes place, the kingdom's going to operate this way. It's going to do this. This is what's going to happen in that time. See, you need to be operating in the right time, folks. Lots of people just general Christians. You know what general Christians get? Generally, not a lot. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. I mean, that's the way it operates. Because we have to know specifically, as Jesus told the Jews in His day, right before His crucifixion, if they would only known the time of their visitation. You'd only known the time of your visitation. And He began to tell about the judgment that was going to fall on them. Because they didn't know what God was doing in the time. They could have known. In fact, He gave them parables telling them what God was doing in their time. They ignored them. He told them, He gave illustrations, like Mike was standing here giving illustrations, trying to talk to us about certain things, is what's going on now? What needs to be done now? And so it's good to follow into those things and walk in the light of them. Now we're dealing with the areas of God's jurisdiction and faith, because we found in God's jurisdiction, God has limited Himself with the operation to man. He's limited. He just doesn't come along as some people preach and say, well, God, He's powerful. He can do anything He wants. No, He can't. He has given His word. If God goes against His word, it makes Him only one thing, and that's called a liar. And if God's a liar, He's no better than the devil. God can't lie. He can't just do anything He wants. If He said that I have to do something, that I must do something to be blessed, then I'm going to have to do that. He's not going to override that. He's established certain things. We used a scripture last week, a familiar scripture from Hebrews 11:6, and it says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. In other words, it's not possible for you and I to please God without faith. It's not possible. I've heard people like over the years will come and say, well, you just need to pray. That doesn't. What do you mean by you just need to pray? Prayer doesn't have to necessarily please God at all. If I can pray and not really have faith or trusting God about anything, and just whining to God about stuff, that's non-pleasing to Him. So we just don't go, just go pray. You hear those terminologies are just sort of thrown out there, you know, and sounds nice and religious, sounds good, but it doesn't accomplish anything. He said, you can't please God. For he says, the one who comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Understand this. God rewards those who are diligent, not those who just seek Him. Most people are not diligent at seeking God. They seek God when they have a problem. But that's not diligence. Diligence means this, consistent effort to accomplish something, done or pursued with persevering attention. In other words, it means you could persevere or to being untiring. So in other words, it's a consistent effort over time. You consistently have an effort. Those are the ones the Word says that God rewards. God rewards on people who consistently go after Him. And I don't know a different way to it than this. I just believe when I was taught this that you had to do these things. I just got over into things that, well, you're just going to have to just go after God and just have to stay after this thing and just keep ever. If you're going to grow spiritually, you're going to have to maintain. If you want rewards, you're going to have to maintain this tireless effort of consistently going after God, whether things are good or bad. Where most people really mess up the most in their Christian walk is when everything is going good. That's where the majority of people's mistakes are made. Not when things are going bad, it's going good. People say, yeah, but then I get over here and I've done this, I get in problems and I have this trouble. And the only reason they have that trouble is because when things were going good, they did not persevere to go after God. Everything's going good. I'm just sort of laying back and relaxing. You know, I'm just, oh, everything's nice. As soon as things get bad, then what happens when things get bad? You're already under the thing. You're already working from behind it. It's when things are going good, that's when you want to be persistent. That's the hardest time to be. That's the easiest time to get lax. And folks, I'm talking experience. I'm not talking to you about some kind of fairy tale that somebody else taught me. I've learned this stuff. Man, it's where some of the times the biggest mistakes I made is I wasn't as persistent at times when things seemed to be going on well. I wasn't pushing in as much. And then when something bad happened, now I'm starting and it's like, man, getting back into this thing and, it becomes much harder to do. So understand that we got to consistent or be persistent in this thing. I also want to read you for scripture we use from James before we go on here. We used some scriptures last week out of James. I like James because James is a straight shooter. He just talks right out and says things right out. James, this James that wrote this letter, James was the brother of Jesus. He was a pastor of a church. And a lot of churches wouldn't like him as a pastor. They wouldn't like that. But he was the head of the church in Jerusalem. In fact, he was a pastor and also stood the office of apostle. He was over was the last, the guy at the top, or you'd say a bishop or something at the top of the organization. Now the Catholic Church always says that Peter was the Pope of the church. If you wanted to say who the Pope or the real Pope of the church was, it was James. James had the last say of things. If you look at with Paul's writings, when Paul in the book of Acts, when they went twice back to Jerusalem to find out about doctrine, the last man who had the last call both times was James, decided what was right and what was wrong. It wasn't Peter. I wish a pope would sit down and read the Bible one day. It'd do him some good. They keep pumping this stuff out and they keep pumping these that aren't true. This is James. When James deals with us in an area, and in James, the first chapter, he opens up and, man, this ain't quite the way most people would like a letter you'd open to. But James wrote a letter. Hallelujah. And I know he wrote it to Ed because Ed needed it. Ed needed it. But he says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with nothing doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Oh, have you ever been there? Have you ever been at that place? Well, you can do one thing. You can go, well, poor old me. I just learned, hey, if it's true about you, well, then let's make a change. I don't know what it is, but it seems that people have a tendency to draw to the negative more than anything. And the one thing that we need to get over in the church if we want to expand and grow is we need to get past all this offended. Everybody in our society is offended. Nobody can ever say nothing that touches anybody's life without getting offended. And you know what that is? That's all big babies. Big whining babies. Getting offended all the time. Getting offended because even if somebody does say something to you derogatory, who gives a rip? Are we going to sit down and keep this stuff up like a bunch of little whining babies? And we need to understand this. I'm sure that James had some people who got offended who were asking God and said, hey, you know, if you're doubting, don't they think you're going to get anything from God? Well, we need to understand. He didn't say that to be mean. He wasn't being mean. It's the truth. Over the years, you know, I got to be around. And then I was in ministers' groups and I think sometimes the things that I've heard ministers say just totally shocked me because they would know that people were heading in a direction and there wasn't no way that the person was going to get what they were after with God. It wasn't going to get fixed. But they would not tell them the truth because, well, the person has, a problem with this. They won't tell the truth because what it is, they're trying to protect themselves, afraid somebody ain't going to like them. And I think, my words, people got problems, and they're heading in a direction, they ain't going to get no answer, and they come to you about it, and you won't say the right thing to them, which you know is true, because, you don't want to cause a problem. Well, number one, if they get upset about it, you have two choices. You tell a person the truth, they have two choices. Keep going the direction they are or make the change. One of the two. I mean, that's it. That's what they can do. They can go to get the answer or just keep going the way they are and don't get an answer. You can do one and two. That's all there is to it. And you just got to decide, are we going to tell people the truth? See, we're dealing with a dilemma in our society today, the church world, because there's a lot of things that truth will not be said. People won't say what's true. And they keep talking about loving. They don't love nobody. We speak the truth in love. He didn't say speak love. The Bible don't say speak love. That's a makeup by man. The Bible says speak the truth in love. Anybody who won't tell the truth never walked in love. Well, I don't want to cause any problems. I'm going to tell you the truth will always cause problems. There's never been a person in history who has never got in trouble telling the truth. The truth will get you in trouble. Why? Because most people don't like it. Get over it. Get over that fact. I got over that one a long time back, is to find out whether people, trying to make people happy. But you can't make people happy. They either decide they want to be happy or not. You can't make anybody happy. I'm going to tell you what. I saw this working in other ministries and other churches. I've never saw it operate any different. Where a church or a ministry did the most to help an individual out, doing things for them, helping them financially, doing something. I have never seen those people ever stay with that ministry. They always end up leaving it because as soon as they don't get what they want, they're out of there looking for something else. So I just don't give them anything up front and that there settles the whole thing. You don't get to waste your money. No, I believe in helping people, but I've seen it. We've had it in our church, help people out. And I'll tell you what, next day they'll turn against you faster than any group. In fact, I've heard this said a number of times here lately. It's really interesting because some people out here speak some things, they're going to get in trouble for it because people are finally standing up. And lately I've heard two ministers say this. The hurting people in the church are hurting the church the most. And they do because they're always running around causing trouble. They're always running, I can't hear, they did this to me. And I'm running, big whining babies running all over the place. Nobody can stay nowhere. Nobody can do anything. And they don't realize they're 90% of what the problem is. Because, nobody can say anything in their life. Nobody can talk anything. And we need to understand, just like Mike was saying, we got to expand. We got to grow. We can't stay in this thing. We can't stay in the spirit of the age, the spirit of the age dealing with these things. We got to grow. We just tell people, I got to come down to the point. If I ask God of something, I must ask in faith. And if I'm not asking in faith, I should understand this, that I am not going to get what I'm asking for from God. That's not going to happen. The Bible says so. That's how we know that. I must ask in faith. So he said, James said, with nothing doubting. See, oh, come on. Let me doubt a little bit. He said, with nothing doubting. But that goes with what Jesus told the disciples. And we go over to Mark 11:23. He told them, you say in this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you'll say will come to pass, you'll have whatever he says. It's doctrinally sound. It's doctrinally right. So James is not writing something different. He's telling people about the areas of faith. God has limited himself with you and I and what he will do based upon our faith in what he says. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. When God's word's put out, you have a choice. Now, many people go through this thing. I really don't understand what people are talking about. People use these terms. It's hard to believe. I don't know about you, but believing's the easiest thing in the world to do. You either believe something's true or it's not. I mean, I don't sit down. I'm going to try to believe this. I'm trying to believe. You either believe it or you don't. The reason so many people have had so much problems with these areas is because we haven't thought 2 seconds about what we're saying. And we're saying it's hard to believe when believing is the easiest thing in the world. And so we couldn't believe anything because we were undone told everybody it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. You know, it's just really tough to believe. It's hard to believe. I'll tell you what. This believing isn't easy. This believing is hard. And then people say this. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, but it's hard to believe what you can't see. That's the biggest lie in the world. I'll tell you what. I can get a doctor on TV to say something to you over the news and you'll believe it whether it's all a lie or not. You'll believe it in 2 seconds because a doctor said it. I know people have gone to the doctors. The doctor told them they had cancer, and they didn't have cancer. And the doctor told them, and I'm going to tell you what, they were just in a dilemma and all bent out of shape, but they turned around and found out later the doctor wasn't true. But they instantly believed it because the doctor said it. Wasn't true. Doctor says something. When you see DR period, that means God with a big G to most people. And then down here is God of heaven. He's at their little G. Down there on the bottom, there's things that everybody has in their life, what is really the God. Everybody has what's really the God. There are people in our lives whose voices mean more than any. And when that person speaks, that's what we believe. Whether right or wrong, we just believe it. And then we walk over and we go to the Bible and it's all of a sudden, this is hard to believe. You know, when Three Mile Island took place, people were leaving our area like crazy, moving out. I didn't see any radiation at all. I didn't see any. Well, see, people turn around and say, well, you know, there's radiation here. Well, where is it? I can only believe what I see. Well, where's the radiation? I'd ask people where the radiation was. Because you listen. Now, everybody believes things they can't see. Everybody does. You know, these dumb scientists say that they don't believe, you know, they have to see it and all this kind of stuff to believe. That's the biggest. They would never research a thing. You know, if you didn't believe in what you couldn't see, you'd never look for nothing else in what you got. They're the biggest liars there are on the face of the earth. The reason they're looking for things is because they know that there's things beyond what you can see. But we decide those things when we're dealing the areas of faith. And I want to look at this morning because I'm dealing, you'll see the bulletin, looking at entering into rest. There is only one way to enter into rest, and that is through faith. There is no other way to do it. There's no way, other way to do it. This is when I want to look at this because this is where the dilemma of our nation is today. There is no way to bring peace into the church world or into our nation because if people leave faith, you can't leave faith. Our nation is a mess because they've left faith in God. They've left it. You know, our Congress and House, I mean, they've helped throw it out. They've helped getting God out of things, boy. The courts and helping, you know, and everybody's on board. Oh, yes, you know, you can be a person of faith and your faith, but leave it at home and shut up. Be quiet about it. Folks, you can't, when you look at our nation today is the perfect picture of faithlessness. We're a nation of unrest. A nation of people of unrest. There is only one way to enter into rest, and that's by faith. There's only one place to go with that. You enter into a rest. We know that's true. Just think about the Apostle Paul. We look at the Apostle Paul wrote some of his most phenomenal letters with revelation, really just wonderful revelation. He wrote them being in prison in Rome. Now, the Roman prison wasn't the Lebanon County jail. Oh, it's so hard to be in here. Just so bad. Oh, poor people. I mean, you were in a dungeon in Rome. And Paul was held in the palace, in their dungeons. Oh, that was a sweet place to be. That was the place to be. Yet Paul wrote letters like, my God, man, like me and God are just the tight and things, blessed people. He wrote these letters and it's absolutely phenomenal. How could Paul be at rest being in the situation he's in? There's only one way that he could be there because Paul never moved from faith. He constantly stayed at rest. I don't know about you. That's where I want to be. I found this when Ed is walking by faith, Ed does not have the problem of being moved by the things going on around him. If you're moved by what's going on around you, you can know this. You're dealing with a faith problem. You're dealing with a faith problem. It's what you mostly believe about what you either see or what the Word of God says. And this is where you have to come to it. You know, we can sit around and talk around this, a lot of nice things. Well, God will just take care of you. God will just look over after you and all that stuff. You know, I've heard all that stuff. I've heard all those things said, but it don't happen. It don't happen. It requires us to believe God. Now, I want to go over, look at scriptures, and go to Hebrews into the third chapter. And the writer of Hebrews talked about the areas of rest. And going into this, this is a discourse given, and Hebrews was written to Hebrews or Jews. That's what it was written to. It was written to Jewish Christians. And written to Jewish Christians, explaining something to them about faith. Now understand, they had a problem, the Jewish Christian had this problem. They came out from under the law and works of the law. That's what they came out of. And tried diligently to bring it into Christianity. And the writer here is explaining to them about rest, of where the problem was with Israel. That the problem of them and the law was always the same thing. They didn't understand faith, but faith is what always pleased God. It wasn't something that started in the New Testament. It's something that was required of them. But see, they just totally operated on the areas of works, with really not trusting, and their works were leading to bad works. But I want you to look. He's discussing, where we're going to pick up here, he's discussing with them of what happened to them when they came out from Egypt and came out of there, heading into the promised land. What happened to them? And we're going to start at chapter 3, verse 12. It says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Now, I want you to listen to this. This is written to Christians. This is not written to the world. It's written to Christians. He said, "Beware, brethren," he's talking to Christians, "lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." That once saved, always saved doctrine gets thrown out right here. Because what's going to say? He said, what do we do? "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you harden through the deceitfulness of sin." Now, what you understand is, sin does this to a Christian. Sin, a Christian who will continually go out into sin, will get hardened and more hardened toward faith in God. They'll get more and more, their heart, not their mind, their heart. See, where you want to stay tender all the time, see, the heart is where you believe. That's what Jesus said. You know, Jesus talked to him, we quoted Mark 11:23. He said, if you believe in your heart and don't doubt, that thing's going to come to pass. See, we need to understand it's dealing with our heart. If my heart gets hardened against God's word, and it will if a Christian continues to go live in sin. A Christian will continue to go over in the area of sin and spend time in sin. Their heart is going to slowly get hardened from the truth. It's a very dangerous thing because this is what happens. If a person continually does that for long periods of time as they go along their Christian walk, eventually they can get hardened to the place where they'll just denounce Christ. They won't even have anything, Christianity ain't so. And don't believe me, I've met people in that class. I've met people that turned around and got over into other religions now. They were born again, spirit filled. I know one guy's a Grima graduate. And now, in fact, I know a second one now that has turned around and left, and now he's over into all these other religious stuff and then these other religions. And, you know, Christianity's all right. It's got good stuff in it, but it's not. You know, you don't have to go there. And you don't have to do that. How did they get there? I can tell you how both of them got there exactly. They started in getting into sin and not backing out of sin and messing with sin all the time and messing with sin. And eventually, they got hardened toward the Word of God. See, sin will harden your heart. And that's why God didn't tell you to stay away from sin because he just downright mad at you because you did something wrong. God only tells us to stay away from things because of our good. It's not his. It ain't going to affect him. He's all right. He's going to be okay. He's going to be okay for eternity. It's his effect on us. So sin, we find out here, it's sin hardens. He says, for we have become partakers of Christ if, oh my God, who put the if there? My God. We'll become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast till the end. Oh my, who put that in there? I thought. Do you know, you need to understand the word in the Bible, believe, the Greek word written in the New Testament, the Greek word that was translated, believe, that is a continuous action verb. It does not believe you believe on Jesus one time and you're okay from then on. It's a continuous action verb. It means to continue to believe. Right here, the writer of Hebrews verified it. Where you started and said you believe, when you get done, you got to be in the same believing you were before. You can't believe into something else. Now, he goes on, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice. You know he's talking about, this is important. Today if you will hear his voice. This is talking about the voice of God. Or we could say this. He's not talking about specifically God speaking. God saying words out of his mouth thundering from heaven. You hear. Because, listen to this. When they came out of Egypt, God spoke to Moses and Moses told them what God said. They asked for that. God said, do you want me to talk to you guys? They said, no, you talk to Moses and then you tell Moses to tell us what you said. And they did it and they hated Moses. When Moses told them what God said, then they didn't want to like it. Anyhow, he said, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as in the day of rebellion. Now he's talking about the day that they rebelled when God took them up to the land to take them in and they said, We can't lick those people in there. We can't do it. We can't do that. That was the day of rebellion. What was it? Was God? They had God's voice. God had told them, I give you that land. That's yours. God told them that he had defeated the people that were in there. He told them that. And when they got there, they said, no. They rebelled against the word of God. They made a choice not to believe. They heard. But they rebelled against what was heard. And what did it do to them? That hardened their heart. That's sin. It is a sin for you and I to hear what God says and then not go, well, I don't believe that's so. I don't believe it. I've had people do that. People come to me and ask me about something. I show them what the Bible said. Well, I just don't believe it like that. And I don't believe it. Oh. Well, they did. They just started a hardening process. They just started themselves rebelling against the word of God. I don't even believe what God says. No, I have a belief. Well, you don't want to do that because, you know, you start setting a hardening process and start rebelling against what the word of God says. You know, there's things that God's word has said that I don't like, but I'm not going to say, well, I'm going to accept that. I mean, I like it. But why? This is why some people can never really grow in the areas of faith. Because they spend more time in rebellion against the Word of God than they do trying to believe the Word of God, just to believe it and receive it. This is why, but if anything's like that, the more you rebel against something, the harder it is to get into cooperation. You know, you have a child who just keeps rebelling. You can't stop that rebellion. They'll get in the place, I'm going to tell you, in their life, it's going to be hard for them. When understand, the Apostle Paul wrote about children and parents, obeying your parents. He said, so it goes, he talked about, so it goes, he said, concerning, you know, obeying your parents, Lord, so it goes well with you, you know, and you live a long time in the earth. Why? You start a lifestyle of rebellion against what you know is right when you're young can lead you to the place when you get older, you're going to live in rebellion and it's going to kill you. That's why a lot of people have a lot of troubles as life goes on. They've been nothing but rebels. You don't want to set a pattern of rebellion. You know, we need to start to preach and teach. We need to get youth leaders to start preaching and teach youth the right things about, yeah, you stay in your rebellion against your parents. This is what's going to happen to you. The Bible says so, and it will come to pass. It will happen. See, when you start to do that, why? You start hardening your heart. You don't want to do that. And see, we're in trouble with our nation because many people, by throwing God out, have hardened their hearts against the things of God. They've hardened their hearts and they're in rebellion. Now listen to what he goes on. He said, don't harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. Then he says, For who, having heard, rebelled, indeed was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Why did their corpses fall in the wilderness? They fell in the wilderness because they were in rebellion. They refused to believe what God said. They wouldn't go into the land. And you know what they did? They committed suicide. The wages of sin is death. They killed themselves. They could say, well, God did it. No, God didn't do it. They did it. God said, I'm going to give you a land over here flowing with milk and honey. Woo, this is going to be a good thing. They said, no, we can't do that. No, we can't do that. Let's take the desert and death. Now, they didn't say let's take the desert and death, but there wasn't any place else to go. It was either God's way or you're going to have a lot of trouble. And so they chose the trouble. That's what they chose. So he said, to whom did he swear that they would not enter? Listen, he swore that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey. He said, they will not enter my rest. Why wouldn't they enter rest? We're going to find out. They can't enter into God's rest because they are not in faith. They rebelled against what's true. They rebelled against what was right. God said, look, I can't let you enter my rest and you be in rebellion against what I said. So in other words, faith comes by hearing the word of God. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, you can't please him. They could not please him being in their rebellion. He can't reward them. He can't. He can't go against his word. He sins. He can't say to the devil, look, I'm going to bless him anyhow. And you know, the devil will say, hey, hold it. You a liar. You said. See, God can't. He can't go against his word. God's word on this subject did not change when the New Testament came along. A lot of people think the New Testament came along and now we're not under the law. Let me tell you what, you're still under the word of God and it changes not. We still have to submit to it, submit to the word. So now like it says, verse 19 says this, so we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. That's why what they couldn't enter, rest. Oh man, if anybody needed rest, they did. If anybody needs rest today, the church does. And the problem is unbelief. We don't like to admit that faith people, we don't have an unbelief problem. We don't. Oh yes, we do. If we have a rest problem, if we're not at rest, there's only one reason why we are. It's because of what we believe. What am I believing? It doesn't matter. I'm not talking about circumstances. Yeah, but you don't know my circumstances. Well, I can just say this. You don't know what the Bible says then. If you think you're going to go through life and the circumstances are all going to be right, you're going to have a hard time here. Thank God there's a place called heaven. We can go there. That'll get good. But while we're here, you know, it stinks a lot, don't it? But you understand this. I can still be at rest. I've just learned one thing. What complaint would I have if the Apostle Paul could sit in prison and maintain his joy? What complaint has Ed have a right to have so far? I have none. I don't have a right to it. Number one, I will not give myself a right to it. See, we determine what we want or how we want to believe and follow that path. What happens to them? They followed the path of what they believed. They said, we can't go over in that land. We can't do that. We can't enter there because, you know, there's giants over there and all that. They got big walled cities. No, God, yeah, but God said you can take them. What did Caleb say? Caleb said, hey, man, those guys are bread dust, man. They're lunch. Let's go get them. Two guys, just think of this, two people out of millions of people, two people out of millions would believe. I'm going to tell you what, I don't think lots of times the ratio has changed a lot. And I'm not trying to make a funny. I believe it's downright true. The ratios aren't good today. Because I see the unrest among Christianity and what's going on out here. The ratios aren't good about believing the word of God, and they can't be. of what God has said, because there's only one way to enter into a rest. There's only one way, and that's through belief. Now, I want to go into chapter 4. Now, I just always say this. Look, the Bible was not written in chapters and verses. This was man broke it up for this, so we could research and find places in the Bible. You could look things up. There's nothing wrong that they did it, but don't read the Bible like it's chapters and verses, because he's going to keep continuing in the same subject. The subject matter has not changed. Now listen to what he says in the first verse of chapter 4. Therefore, or because of the discourse I just gave you, because of this, therefore, he says, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. What did he say? The promise of rest has never changed. It has always been the same. The promise of rest has always relied on the basis of what Ed believes and what you believe. That determines your rest. He didn't say, well, you know what, the promise remains, but good luck trying to get it. Now, in other words, see, there was no difference from Old Covenant to New Covenant concerning what brought rest. It's never changed. It's never changed. It's always been the same. It's always been about what men believed. It's about hearing the voice of God and believing it's true. And if I hear the voice, don't harden my heart against it. Don't harden your heart. Why? Because there's a problem if you harden your heart against what's true. Because this is one thing. At the onset, you cannot enter rest. The first thing you will not be able to enter into is if resisting against God's word is you can't enter rest. You won't have rest. Folks, I know what that'd be like. I've lived there. I've lived in the unrest. I've lived in the place. I've been there. That's the first. You will never find a person who's in problems and troubles and not trusting God is just, I'm okay. God will take care of me in this. No, they're like, somebody pray for me. Oh, help. Let's call these 10 prayer chains, get them going, and let's do all this. And they're doing, why? They're not at rest. And the reason it is about what they believe. And I found out, you know, sometimes I just had to stop what's going on, because sometimes the things around you can be so visible and so going on around you so much. You just got to park and pull away and just get into the Word of God and just, you know, God, and just keep looking at it till you get yourself to, this is true, talk yourself. I had to talk myself to the rest place. I had to talk myself to that place. And you have to do it. I used to have to do that a lot more than I do now. Because starting off, it wasn't, I did learn a few things out of this. But starting off, it was sometimes very hard. I mean, man, I was like trying to not, I felt like my head was going to blow up or something. And you just, you know, oh God, I want to believe the word, the situations around us are going on and they're happening. And it's no fun at all. It's not any fun. And being into rest doesn't mean that, you know, everything going around you is good. It may not. But you can come to the place of confidence. You know, sometimes today, and I have even said, you know, at times to Wanda, sometimes, you know, situations come along and I marvel at the fact that don't trouble me in the least. And it does, because I can look back to when I would have, oh my God, what are we dealing with this? Don't you know? You know, it's just one of the, it's like today, it's like, but I, you know, by staying over in the Word, I can come to rest. I know what God said on it, and I believe it's true. And so coming in that place of rest. So the promise stands. That God has promised you rest. But he didn't say, don't do anything, I'll just give it to you. The promise was based on the fact of hearing the voice of God and obeying it. You get to enter rest. Now, he said, listen to this, we're going to go on. He says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith to those who hear it. Do you know the term gospel? He said the good news. See, we take the good news was Jesus Christ, you know, is that there is the good news. That is the, we preach a gospel of that. But I'm going to tell you, any words of God is gospel. He just told them the gospel was preached. Well, we preach what we, people say, well, we preach a different gospel today. No, what he's talking about here is the words of God that were spoken that made a promise. That they've always been the same. They had a promise spoken to them. It was gospel to them. It was good news to them. And you know what? They turned good news into bad news. Which many people, which we've all done at times, turned the good news into bad news by not believing it. We didn't believe it was true. We didn't believe it was so. He said, what had they not done? It didn't profit them. It says, what? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. The faith thing is about you, not about God. You know, people, don't bother asking God about faith. God's given you the ability to believe or not to believe. You have that right. It's within your will. They determined not to believe it, so they did not mix faith with the gospel that they heard. They decided not to. That was their decision. Now people say, you know, and they get, oh man, well, just that it's hard. It's hard time believing that's true. No, it's not. Get that out of your vocabulary. Get that out of your vocabulary. Is it most of them? They went and did a thing about, you know, most people that call themselves Christians, they believe the Bible is the Word of God, and they said that 80% said they believe it's the Word of God. After 2 days of laughing as hard as I could, most Christians don't believe this is the Word of God. My God, Christianity would be totally different today if any of them people believed this was the Word of God. How could you say you really believe this was the Word of God and in total rebellion against it? And live lives like hell. Any sin's all right, it's okay. God loves everybody, so just live like hell and do whatever and all that stuff. Now, how could you do that? See, it's getting down, is this book true? See, people say, well, yes, we believe this is the Word of God, but it's not for us today. You know, it's for some other group. You know, that was okay back then for them, but we're different today, yes? We have a lot harder hearts. A lot more rebellion. We've gotten good at it. But, you know, we need to understand this. He told, they didn't mix faith with what they heard. In other words, when you hear something, you have an ingredient to add to what you hear. It's just like, you know, you don't expect the cookies to come out good if you didn't put all the ingredients in there. Don't expect this to work. I don't expect to enter rest if you have not mixed faith with what you heard God say. Why? God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. They can't please Him without faith. If faith is not mixed into it, James said it's impossible for you to get what you ask for. Impossible. You must mix faith with it. You have to. That's the way it is. That's the way this thing works. So, you know, he said they didn't mix faith. For he says, for we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said. He said the guy who believes, he enters rest. That's where he goes. He enters rest. The guy who mixed faith with the words of God he heard, he entered right into the place called rest. Woo-hoo-hoo! That's where I want to go. That's where I want. I want to go to the place rest. I need rest. You ever felt, you know, dealing with a problem and it just wears you out? Dealing with stuff that just wears you out, wears you down. Does, you know, you got to come to a place of rest. Everybody does. You just can't continually face problems and keep faithfully. It wears you out. It's like a person naturally in pain. You can't have a whole bunch of pain and not have it dealt with. It'll wear you out. That'll get you around to the place. I'm going to tell you what. It is absolutely, you know, just going through the thing of pain can be worse than the disease. And it can be more of a killer if you cannot keep it from wearing you out and you don't come to a place of rest. You got to come. That's why I tell people, you know, concerning the areas of faith. If you're standing in faith in an area and you're unable to bring pain under control, go get some medication, because if you don't, it'll wear you out. And you'll end up more faithless than you started with. Keep under control. There's things must be kept under control. You can't let a problem run and not deal with certain things about it. You come to the place of faith. You must be able to enter over into the areas of rest. You got to. Spiritually, you must enter that place. Your faith cannot withstand it. If your believing isn't enough to take you over to rest, man, you're just going to wear out. You must come to the place of rest. Believing, mixing faith with what the Word of God says. He said, for we have believed and do enter that rest. And he said, so I swore in my wrath, they're not going to enter my rest. He said, look, this group that came out here and didn't believe it, I said they're not going to enter my rest. Now, was God making up a new condition? No. He's just telling them, this is the outcome. You cannot get to the rest. You can't go to the place of rest unless you believe the word of God. That's what he's saying. He said, now listen, I want you to see, listen what he says in this verse 3. He says, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. When God told the children of Israel that land was theirs and their enemies couldn't stand against them and they would run them all out, when he told them that, God said, that thing was finished from the foundation of the world. My word was put out. The Bible says God sent Christ before the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, God looked at man that redemption was done. His word was put out on it, and that's a finished, complete thing. The Bible says by his stripes you were healed. God never asked you to try to get God to heal you. God said you are. He said by his stripes you were healed. God's word was always put out before. The redemption of man. Every person who doesn't receive Christ, who goes off to hell, goes to hell not because Christ did not redeem them. He surely did. Christ dealt with the sin of all men, the Bible says. Why are they there? They rebelled against the word. They wouldn't receive Christ. They rebelled and wouldn't believe what the word says. They end up there because of that rebellion. They cannot enter into rest. He can't save them. Yet, the work was completed before the foundation of the world. This is the wonder of the promises of God. If you find a promise of God, in the mind of God, it's already done. If it isn't already done, you can't believe to receive it. You cannot believe to receive what has already not been given. If it hasn't been given, you couldn't believe to receive it. You know, If I needed $1,000 and Conrad said to me, don't worry about it, he goes, I'll give you $1,000, I'll have it to you next week. See, I can believe to receive from him $1,000 because he told me he'd give it to me. But if he never told me he's going to give it to me, I have no place to stand that he'd ever give it to me. You can't just go throw it out there with God that God's going to do something for you and you ever heard what he said. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Once you hear what he said, when God told them that he gave them that land, the work was done. They needed to believe that it was done. Two guys could believe it. The rest of them could have too. But you know what happened? Their trip getting to the promised land, Caleb was believing God and sticking with the word while the rest of them were running around complaining and griping and moaning about what was going on in the desert. And when they got to the land, and they needed faith, they had none. They didn't have any. And see, we need to know the difference of the thing. It's about just believing what God says. That's why is looking in the Bible, finding out what God says to you, what God has promised to you. You know, you're not going to change everybody and everything else around you. You're not going to do that. You don't have any right to do that. We can't make anybody else. We can't just override other people's wills. We're not allowed to do that. Some people think that'd be a good thing to do. Yeah, as long as you don't do it to them. But God's not going to override our will. It's about you and I having faith. So God's promise was put out there before the foundation of the world. This entering into into rest was already put out there before the world was created. God had a plan for you and I to enter his rest. All we had to do was believe what his word said. And you could enter into his rest. That was God's plan. Now, in verse 4 it says, for he who spoke in a certain place, he said on the seventh day, he said in this way, he said God, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And he said again in the place, they shall not enter my rest. I want you to look at something over here is down. Jump down to verse 11. I want you to see what it says here in verse 11. Listen, it says verse 11. Let us therefore be what? Diligent to what? Enter the rest. It requires diligence to enter the rest. One of the areas is learn to do this. Learn to develop, really, the characteristics of faith, of being a person of faith. One of the things I never say in my voice, and I mentioned here a number of times, I never say it's hard to believe. I will not say that about myself. I refuse. That's a lie. I'll tell you what. I have a spirit of faith. I believe easily. The Bible calls me a believer. I am not going to call myself something else. My nature and your nature is to believe. If you are having trouble in the areas from the standpoint saying, and I can't believe it, I'm having a hard time, it's because you're not acting on your nature. You're acting like you're a sinner instead of a saint. See, you need to go over to the area as me. I've said this from the time I was a young Christian. When I hear the Word of God, I believe it easily. The Word of God's true, and I believe it's true. And when I hear it, I believe it. It's true. It's God's Word. I don't care. God's Word can say something to me. I can read something in the Bible, and I know it's true. But I can't figure out about what I need to do with that thing. Sometimes it seems hard to figure out what you got to do with it. You don't always have all the revelation. But I refuse to say I don't believe it. No, if God's Word said it, it's true. That's it. If God's Word speaks something to you, you say it's true. You got to learn to do that. Get yourself over where you really set an atmosphere for you to believe. You need to do that. You need to see yourself. Now, look, our faith is going to be measured by really our knowledge of we have of God's Word. That's one thing, is it says be diligent. See, be diligent concerning the Word of God, because the more you're going to gain knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, the more your faith can encompass. See, if you get people who aren't diligent toward that, they're not going to do what Mike was talking about this morning about expanding. They can't expand. You can't expand beyond what you do. If you don't change what you do now to get God's Word in you, you're going to have to step out into something greater. See, as when I started off as a Christian, and I was knocked and everything else by other Christians, they said I spent too much time in the Bible, I was going to get weird. Thank God I got weird. Hallelujah. I was so glad, because I'm not like them today. And you know what? Those people that told me that, most of them don't walk as close to God now as they did then. See, you can't lay none of it down. See, well, you know, you spend too much time. You spend too much over there. You know, I was starting off. And man, there's one thing about, we don't take our kid and send them down there to school and put them in first grade and said, you know, don't give that kid no more than 2 hours of teaching a day. He just, you know, he can't handle this all day at school learning this stuff. When it comes to God, you'll puke after 15 minutes, you know. We only take God, you know, in a 20-minute sermonette and then go home. And that's enough for the week. But see, the whole thing of it is, we want to come to the place to enter into rest. It doesn't work that way. I found out I had to really get myself over-focused in. And I'll never forget when I went to Bible school. I remember going to Bible school when I got there. Now, you know, I went to Bible school and here I was. I was 30 years old when I showed up for Bible school. And a lot of people, the majority were younger than me. And we had some people that were over me, but they were younger than me when I went to Bible school. And you know what? I went to Bible school, and I watched all these younger people. They had a rougher time than I did, because, see, I had been diligent in studying. And to them, you know, some of them had got out of school a couple of years or done. They used to go into, you know, their secular colleges and stuff where they went to, where you play a lot. And they got there and found out, you know, you went there and it wasn't the same anymore. You got there and you had to study, you had to work. You know, they didn't allow you to live like hell and stay in the group. And they had a tough time of it. I went to Bible school. I thought it was the easiest thing in the world, going to Bible school. Because I had spent more time in study per day than I had been when I got to Bible school. When I got to Bible school, it was like, my words, this is cake, man. We can do this. This is good. I'll do fine here. But a lot of people had trouble. Why? Because of not being diligent. You spend the time being diligent to put something into you. Why? So you can enter into that rest. The more you learn about God's Word, the more you understand about God, the more you're going to be able to encompass an area of your belief, of what you believe. I mean, that's just the way it operates. There's no other way to do it. I don't know if there's another way. Somebody please tell me. If I've been doing it the hard way, I'd like to know if there's an easier way to do it. I haven't found it. I've had people over the years tell me, oh, you don't have to do all of this, and you don't have to do that. And then whatever they told me, I turned around and found it wasn't true. Because, you know, those people in the night would give me a call when they got into trouble, trying to figure out how to get out of it, because it's one thing they knew. I knew God, and they didn't. They had not taken the time to find out. And you got to take time. I don't know any other way to do it than to take time to find out. And so you want to do that. You want to enter. Here they said, let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. See, it takes diligence. He said, you're either this one, you're going to be diligent or you're going to fall to disobedience. One or two. I said, well, Ed, you better get you better get more diligent. I need more diligence. I need more diligence toward the things of God. I have to, you know, setting my focus. He said, now listen, when we read in context, this next scripture, I want you to, I just want to say this in this next scripture. Because this scripture here lots of times pulled out to teach about spirit, soul, and body. But this, listen to what he says. This is put in line with entering into that rest. He says, what? For the word of God is living. See, he's telling them the power, he's going to tell them the power of the word of God. This is why you want to believe it. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrows, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You got to believe the word of God if you want your heart changed. People who shut themselves off through a hardening of sin, of disobedience to the word and not believing the word, see, they turn their heart off. They make their heart hard. There's only one way to deal with your heart, is let the word of God get into it. You know what? I would read the word. Sometimes it didn't go down or pleasant to me when I would see, oh my God, Ed, you need to change. Whoa. Let's go over and read. I found some other place over here. Let's read a psalm. James? I don't know about that letter. Yes. I just don't know about it. Peter, I was wondering about him too. He said some things that shook me up. But listen, he's telling you the power of the word of God. In other words, the word of God that you believe can change the hearts of men. And he's talking about changing the heart to good. Out here in the world, there's a lot said that ain't changing people's hearts to anything good. There's only one thing that can change the heart of the men from evil to good, and that's God's word. There's no other words that can do it. There's not any other words that can do it. None can do that. And so he makes that statement. He says, and there is no creature hidden, he says, from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Oh, man, now Ed's got to give an account. Now, God's going to talk to me about my faith when I was in the earth. See, people don't like, some of our Christians get bad, all that. We just go to heaven, nobody's going to say a thing. They're just going to be so glad you was there. Now, what would they think? God is going to be glad you finally made it. Just think of this New Testament. It said in the New Testament, it said the righteous are barely saved. It says it in the New Testament. It's written. Say, dear God. Well, no, we're going to give an account. But look what he says. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. It's the word of confession. You need to hold fast what you were saying, what you started in your faith in the beginning. When you face the trials of life, you need to keep saying what the Word of God says. When Caleb came out of that land, when he was over there looking at that land, when he got back out, he saw the same giants. He saw the same old cities. But when he got back out, he's talking the Word of God. He ain't ever changed his confession. You can't change your confession. You got to keep saying the right things, speaking the right things. We have this high priest. He says, Lord Jesus Christ, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And because of that, listen to what he says. Now hear this scripture in context. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Paul wrote to the Colossians and said, set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Don't set your mind down here on these things of the earth. Don't do that. Set your mind on the things above where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Because you're going to, Paul should sure know what he was talking about, because he knew what it was to be in the dungeon, but he knew what it was to be at rest in the dungeon. I want to be at rest in the dungeon, don't you? I don't want to be overtaken by problems. I want to overtake problems. I want to overtake things. I lived 30 years an overtaken life. I was overtaken. For 30 years of my life, I refuse. If Christianity cannot offer me better than what most Christians have today, I don't want it. Those words in the New Testament about being a victor and being overcomer, they're true words. They're right. What could put you at peace sitting down in a dungeon. What would put people at peace to be thrown into the Colosseum in Rome and lions to eat you? And they said the people would get up and sing hymns. They said, really, that was one of the things that totaled, you know, because they were in such paganism there and that stuff, they got their thrills off of people dying. It's like America today. You know, live like hell, kill the kids, who cares? You know, go have a good time. Do whatever you want. And what changed them was the fact that the people could not understand how people could go to their death not in fear. I've done numbers of funerals, and I'm amazed at going to funerals and that stuff and doing funerals, and how many people, Christians, are in fear over death. They're in fear. Why? They've never entered into rest. They have no faith about the life to come. And if you told them that, they'd be mad at you. But it's the truth. My God, I'm ready to go. It's like, let's get real on this thing. I'm like the Apostle Paul. It's better to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Hallelujah. And it is. Is the word true or not? I'm not trying to see how long I can hang on here. I'm seeing how you can get the job done, and let's go be with Jesus. Let's get the job done and go be with Jesus. And but the whole thing of this is entering this rest. God has made a promise to you to enter into rest. He's made a promise. In Psalm, it says about this same incident with Israel. It's in Psalm 78, verse 41. Says, yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One. They limited God. God's plan was for them to be totally free. God was planned for Israel to come out of Egypt, short trip across the desert, go over there and go into that land and be blessed. And they turned it into 40 years of hell. They did it. And even in that 40 years, God did everything to bless them, and they complained for 40 years. And they did it all. Man, have you ever been there? Have you ever been your biggest problem? If you say you haven't, I'm going to have an altar call for liars then. We're going to get you saved. We sometimes have been our biggest problem, folks. Might as well laugh. You might as well put a smile on your face. We've sometimes been our own biggest problems, and we've been there. And we have. But I'm going to tell you what, don't let it put you under. Hallelujah. The thing is to do is you hear the truth. And what the thing is, you start, we have the thing, or we can either go sit down and say, well, you know, I've just messed everything up. I've learned over time, I'm not going to sit back and whine and cry. I lived under that life of trying to hide with drugs and alcohol, everything else, trying to hide my life and trying to do this. I'm going to face the things, because I found out with Christ Jesus, I can face the future. Hallelujah. I can face the future. What he says in his word's true. And I can come boldly to the throne of grace. That's what he went through all that thing to say this. This is what you do. You go boldly to the throne of grace. You feel like you're at your weak point? Let's believe God, not say, well, I don't know if this stuff really works. No, that's when you're charging after God. See, when things are going on, I'm going to the throne of grace. I'm going to the place where you get mercy and you find grace to help in time of need. It's not, well, I don't know if this Bible stuff really works, you know. If it really works, how come I'm having all this trouble? Well, you just answered your own question. You just answered your own question. Is the reason it is because you don't believe it's true. You got to be sold out on this thing. You decide you're sold out. Get sold. God, my life's going to be turned around. It's one thing to see I found out in life. We think lots of times, if we get somebody else turned around, our life will get better. And God taught me this. Is number one, if I'm going to improve my life, the number one thing that I must do is change my life. Because, hey, everybody else ain't going to play to your song. Get on. It's just not going to happen. Everybody else is not going to go along in the areas of what maybe you or what you want in life or things. And people are going to do stuff. You know, there's people out here, they're planning to do stuff. And they're going to be. But I found out the biggest thing that I needed to do was change my life. God dealt with me and dealt with me about the fact of how I needed to change. My whole perspective of how I viewed life and what was causing the problems. I was wrong about it all. I was wrong about it all. I found out that I was causing me problems by what I was doing. It wasn't other people. I found out as I grew in Christianity, I could be happy when these others didn't like me. I could still be happy. I could be at rest. And you know, didn't worry about it. And I thought, my God, this is good stuff to be able to do this. I don't know about you. You ever, oh my God. because you get around. We have this inclination today, and we have it is, and it's a demonic spirit trying to be liked by everybody. It's demonic. It's demons. I mean, you sit down and look at the prophecies of the Messiah coming. He wasn't going to be liked by everybody. God don't have this idea that you're going to be near. The Bible says if you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. It's what it says in the New Testament. If you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. Kenneth Hagin used to tell this. You can measure whether or not you're living godly. If everybody likes you, you're probably not living godly. So I must be in good care. I know for sure everybody likes me. But you know, this one thing, when concerning our faith and our believing God and what we're walking, I'm going to continue to walk it. I know not everybody's going to join the camp. I know not everybody's going to jump in, but I'm not going to stop living in truth because I don't know of another direction to go. I tried to live all the other junk before. I did it for 30 years and it didn't work. I tried all the other stuff. It didn't work. I tried looking into other religions. Found out it was crazy stuff. They didn't believe it either. This stuff's true and it works. This stuff's true and it works. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to walk over here in this place. And that's what we need to do as Christians. Let's walk in this place God's called us to. Let's get over into this thing. Let's get over to get into what God's Word is. See yourself as a believer. Don't call yourself anything other than a believer. That's what you are. That's what you were designed by God to do, is to believe what His Word said. You're called a believer. Couldn't call yourself a believer. Say, I easily believe the Word of God. Hallelujah. When I hear what the Word of God says, I believe it. Hallelujah. And get a smile on your face when you say it. Well, I'm just believing. And that's some of the sorriest things I've ever had in my life. So people come to me and say they want help, and they're just coming in and they go, well, I tell you, I'm just believing the Bible. Well, why don't you notify your face that you believe in the Bible? It would change some things. Well, sometimes, hey, we're in a position that we don't know, and we might feel down. You know, and that's where you go. It says encourage one another daily. You know, you might need some encouragement in that area to get up into faith. But don't come, you know, understand, don't lie to yourself. See, we have this lying thing, and really it deals with Christians. And Christians will come along and say, you know, they're believing, and when they're not, and they know they're not. Well, that don't do you any good. Don't lie to yourself. You know, we try to put on a face with other people. See, we want other people to think we're spiritual. You know, if you're an unbelief, you're lying to somebody else. That ain't going to help. Yeah, if I lie good and tell them I'm believing God when I'm not, and I know I'm not, that's going to change things. Hallelujah. That's going to make me a lot better. We don't want to go to those places. And we can be honest with you. You know, I like the guy in the Bible came to Jesus, and he came to Jesus, and he bought his son. And Jesus made a remark about how long he's going to have to put up with these people. And the guy said to him, help my unbelief. Well, he got his son healed. Hallelujah. He said, help my unbelief. He was honest. He asked Jesus to help his unbelief. And his son got delivered. I think sometimes people only got delivered because they'd done around a lie. They stood in front of Jesus and told him they were believing and they weren't, like he wouldn't know. Jesus knows. But when a guy came to him and he was having trouble, he said, I believe, help my unbelief. See, he believes something to a point. Sometimes we're having trouble believing to the point. That's where sometimes getting somebody to join in with you in faith, because we're believing to a point. But we need help, somebody help us take us further in that. And we need that. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we want to, you know, but we want to keep pushing toward the thing of faith. Why? It's the whole thing is enter into rest. Is entering in that. When you come to the place you're believing God, somebody can come and tell you that, you know, that'll never work out. You stop and say, I'm sorry, the Bible says. God said. You want what God said about that situation? I didn't hurt his words. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to rebel against him. Glory to God, God will deliver me. And you can stop it. That's what you want to do. You come to that place of rest where people tell you, well, that's not going to work. That's not going to happen. Say, yes, it is. It's going to work. It's going to happen. Paul's locked up in prison and jail and wrote some guys that he was going to get out of the Roman prison and come and visit them. Now, they didn't have a parole system. They usually had it called a death system. But Paul did get out of there and went and visited them. Why? You know, Paul wasn't downhearted. He knew something the Romans didn't know. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah.